Yes, it's that time of the week again, and we're joined by Dennis Stewart in the studio. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
Great, great to see you.
Good to see you.
We missed you last week.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
It is.
Isn't that nice?
It's like having a relative come over every week.
That's lovely.
Now, Dennis, today you want to continue your recommendations for helping resist wintertime conditions such as colds, flu, bronchitis, and other conditions aggravated by cold. You've talked about the famous chicken soup, the importance of ginger for the respiratory system. And today you want to list a few simple, inexpensive supplements that you believe help fight winter symptoms.
I do. And I just would like to say that I think this has been one of the coldest winters that we have experienced for some time. Living up the valley, as my dear wife and myself have done for over 20 years now, we've experienced quite a few cold winters. But driving down to my rooms yesterday from Cessnock, up the main drag, as we call it, on the way out of Cessnock, it was almost like driving to Mount Kosciuszko. There was so much frost bending over some of the grass that I couldn't believe it. It's the worst I've seen for some time. I think we must have had round about minus one or something like that. But look, it could be that I'm a little bit more sensitive to cold now than what I was before. But look, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. It has been quite cold.
Having said that, it's been interesting also to see the fascination that many listeners and many of my patients have had with our discussions on what I call the famous chicken soup. And thinking about that and the interest in it, I feel obliged to say that, look, this is an undiscovered gem. And particularly I address people that are in care and the carers to don't neglect the potential associated with that famous soup that's based simply on the frame of the chicken, easily made and so supportive of recovering from so many wintertime ailments that could frequently threaten ageing people. Think about that. Carers that look after elderly people, do your homework on that famous soup. It's simple. It's inexpensive. Made at home or in the care situation, don't overlook it. And we spoke also about ginger. And again, I emphasise to listeners before we get into our topic on the importance of that simple supplement. It is a warming herb, but it has a specific relationship to the respiratory system and particularly the lungs. And what it does there is assist in the resolution of mucus. What it does is support the respiratory system, the lungs, the bronchial system. It's something that should be appended again, particularly by those that suffer various respiratory conditions characterised by phlegm and infection. Supplement regularly during wintertime, particularly with ginger tea, ginger capsules, ginger in your meals, start to realise that it's not just a spice, it's a healing substance. But today we're going to look at a few other interesting things which we'll talk about in a moment.
We just had a caller, didn't want to go to air, but said that it wants to reinforce that he has had terrific success with ginger for phlegm issues, Dennis.
Well, that's what one would expect, but that's very nice of that person to ring in and confirm what I have said about the importance of ginger for resolving mucus in the respiratory system.
Okay, and we've also got Jerry on. Jerry from Terrigal. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, everybody. It's joining my family. And good morning, especially to you, Dennis.
Hello, Jerry. How are you?
Very good, Dennis. I'll tell you, you've been treating my family for over 30 years.
Oh,
dear. I admire you very, very much, sir. And
thank
I tell
you.
The listeners, this man knows what he's talking about. I'll be very brief, Dennis.
Yes.
My wife has had dementia for 5 years.
Yes.
It's amazing what I heard with the ginger.
Yes.
One of the effects of dementia is she is using a lot of saliva.
Yes.
And also her lack of appetite. Now,
yes.
I will be buying some ginger.
Yes.
But how do I give that to her, please?
Well, look, if you want to administer it simply as a ginger tea, you can get ginger tea bags from the supermarket or the health food store. Put some honey with it. That is a very pleasant drink, I can assure you. a little bit of honey and lemon juice with it would make it a very palatable and, in fact, very desirable beverage. I'd be surprised if your dear wife did appreciate that. What I would also suggest is, as far as addressing her dementia, and I don't know what medication she may or may not be on, but one thing I recommend to people is not to throw in the towel with this. I have seen some significant stabilisation of the advancement of dementia by recommending remedies that would be disregarded. And one of those I have great confidence in would be the use of the Asian remedy, Panax ginseng. Now, Panax ginseng has a reputation for supporting the failing body at all levels, and particularly the ageing body, and I have spoken about its benefits in addressing ageing syndromes on this program before. Fortunately, these days it's not expensive, and you can purchase it very easily from a good health food store, and one dose of it a day, particularly if you purchase the Korean ginseng, which has little liquid vials in it. I have found that quite remarkable with many of my elderly patients who, with their colleagues or relatives, husband, wife, have feared that they're drifting into dementia. Think about using that. Don't overlook also the general benefit of making sure that her nourishment incorporates a broad spectrum of all the major nutrients. As we get older, our body needs more of the nutrients. That's my opinion, and I fear that ageing these days is not taken as seriously as it should be. Make sure she's taking a high-quality multivitamin and multi-mineral preparation. And dementia these days, herbally, is seen as being favourably treated, depending on what stage it's at, by the herb called ginkgo biloba. Now, ginkgo biloba developed its reputation after the Second World War as a result of the work the German scientists gave to that herb, and some of the first papers written on ginkgo biloba was associated with the extract of it and its benefit, depending on the level of dementia, with addressing cognitive disturbances, dementia generally. Now, I would run that past your doctor or pharmacist. There is just a hint that it might not be desirable in higher dosages if the patient is on blood thinners. I have never seen that as a problem, but it is a herb. If you were to Google it, you would see the reputation that it has. It's a starting base for me in recommendations for most patients or clients that I see who worry about cognitive decline, who have been diagnosed as being in the early stages of dementia. Have a talk with your GP, your pharmacist about ginkgo biloba, Google it, support it by a good multivitamin and multi-mineral preparation. If you were to do that get her into the ginger and the Panax ginseng, Jerry, you're doing something, you know what I mean? And sometimes the simple things we do make a bigger impact than what the mainstream would recognise.
I thank you. I've taken enough of your time. Just one final thing, that I've stayed away from drugs with this dementia.
Yes.
And it's going along very nicely. Good. Thank you to the doctors. I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, just quickly, to enhance her appetite, would the ginger work?
Look, ginger has an effect systemically. Okay. It's mainly a remedy to address respiratory problems such as congestion. But I would place a bit of emphasis on the potential of the ginseng and its effect on vitality, which incorporates appetite enhancement. I'd place a bit of emphasis on that, Jerry.
You're an amazing man. Thank you very much, Dennis. And all the very best to all your family. And I thank to terrific radio station, 2NR FM, for this. All the very best to everybody.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate your call. Have a great day.
Thank you. Yeah, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye. Bye. Next on the line, we have John from Neath. Hi, John. How can we help?
Yeah, hello, Dennis.
Hello, John.
I had a stroke.
Yes.
And now that I'm home out of hospital.
Yes.
I got all this phlegm mass coming up out of my throat when I swallow.
Are you able to cough it up, John?
Not all the time, but they said if I don't, I got to be careful because not to let it go down onto my lungs.
Correct. Now, this is where what I said earlier may be of some benefit to you, that herbs which are called mucolytic. Now, that's a big word, and I wouldn't expect you to know much about it, but mucolytic means resolving of mucus, mucolytic. So what I would suggest is that you can run it past your doctor if you like. He may or may not be interested. But if I were you, I would seek to get hold of some ginger tea. You can take it as a capsule or even as ginger itself. But I feel that if you were to get someone to go to your health food store or your pharmacy and get hold of some ginger tea bags and make strong ginger tea and drink, say, 2 to 3 cups of that per day, that would have the effect of helping to resolve the mucus and help you expectorate it or bring it up, so to speak. And that would also, by the way, have the effect of warming the lung, as we refer to it in traditional medicine, and that would also have the effect of helping resist infection. So I come back to what I said earlier, John. Don't overlook the simple things. I would again suggest that you have a go at using ginger tea, 2 to 3 cups, maybe more per day. It can't hurt you. It can only do you good, John.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, John. By gee, it was cold coming through through where you were yesterday. I couldn't. Well, I came down this morning from Cessnock, but yesterday I've never seen so much frost on the ground where you are.
Yeah, it was white as snow.
Absolutely.
Here.
Yeah. Well, I drove through what used to be called Chinaman's Hollow, and I thought I was in the snowfield.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, John.
What was that other word?
Mucolytic. That's the technical word. Your doctor would know what that means. Ginger is a mucolytic herb. That is, it has a reputation for resolving mucus, for lessening its stickiness and helping to bring it up.
How do you spell that, Dennis?
Okay, M-U-C-O, muco, L-Y-T-I-C.
All right.
Okay.
I want to thank you very much, Dennis.
Okay, John, all the best with it, John. I hope things go well for you, mate.
Yeah, it's driving me mad.
Oh, I understand. Give it a go. You've got everything to lose and everything to gain.
Right, thank you very much.
Okay,
thanks,
John.
Very much, John. You have a great day. Just had a caller, Victoria. She didn't want to go on air, but she says lemon and ginger tea bags are good for a sore throat. What do you reckon?
One of my famous.
Yes.
One of my famous, and I'm glad she mentioned that because she's on the money. On the money. Ginger and lemon, pretty hard to beat.
What do you reckon about eucalyptus for mucus as well?
Okay. Fair, but the thing we have to realise about eucalyptus is it's a very potentially toxic herb. The oil in it, which is its active principle, is useful, but mainly for topical use. People don't realise that a lot of herbs that have essential oils in them, in overdose, can be very, very dangerous. So I know eucalyptus might occur in some liquid preparations, pharmaceutical preparations, I don't know. But I'm always reluctant unless the preparation is a manufactured preparation with a stipulated dosage on it. I'd be a little bit cautious about oral ingestion.
Oh, I'm talking more topically,
I
suppose.
Topically?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a great fan of eucalyptus.
Yeah.
Topically, there's nothing that can beat it as a topical preparation.
Just
come
don't
on, we're Australians,
it.
There's plenty of it around.
Okay.
Well, very, very interesting. What was I watching? I was watching Vera the other night, my favourite TV program, which I watch over and over again. And there was an instance there where the perception of eucalyptus oil on something insignificant led to the actual arrest and conviction of the person that killed the person. So there you go. Eucalyptus crops up everywhere, even in the old country.
It sure does. Thanks, Dennis. And we've got John on the line from Birmingham Gardens. Hi, John. How can we help you?
Oh, hello.
Hello, John.
Bring it up. Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
Just bring it up to see if you knew anything about scleroderma.
Scleroderma?
Yeah.
You struggling with it, are you, John?
Yes. But I've only had it for about the last 10 weeks. It's only just come on to me. I woke up one morning and I had on my fingers, it was really numb and my feet were real tingly.
Yes.
And I just went down and seen the doctor and now we're up to this stage now.
Have you, on any medication for it yet, John?
No. Okay. I'm still waiting to see the specialist.
Okay. But essentially, for the sake of the listeners, scleroderma can manifest itself in circulatory problems, stiffness, lack of secretion. So it's not a good condition, autoimmune condition, I believe. Look, John, I have no easy answers to it, but if you were experiencing some peripheral symptoms, you say, for instance, that your feet and your fingers, you woke up with a sense of loss of sensation?
Yes, yeah, just felt like, very like a nervy sort of thing in my hand sort of thing. The ends of the fingers like had a tingled in them sort of thing.
Okay. Has it remained with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
John, are you on any other medication?
No, not at the moment.
Okay. So this just came out of the blue?
Yes, but I was in hospital for 10 weeks with bad lungs. And might have been all the drugs they gave me in there. Now the body's overdoing it.
Okay.
I was reading up about it, and it was about the collagen in your body.
Yes. Look, it's a complicated condition, and I have no easy answers to it. What I would suggest, however, is, as a matter of interest, get to your computer and Google cod liver oil and scleroderma. There is just a hint of information in some of the left field literature, which I'm happy to read, by the way, and I don't dismiss everything that's a bit left field as being nonsense. Have a look at that and see what is said about using cod liver oil as a supplement for that condition. And while you're there also, factor in the herb cayenne, C-A-Y-E-N-N-E. It is particularly useful for promoting improvement to the peripheries, which improvement in blood flow and the warming of the tissues, if we use natural medicine terminology, may have some benefit, particularly in this very early stage. Outside of that, John, it's a difficult condition, and who am I to say I have much more to offer than what I've simply said? But even doing that might give you some symptom relief.
Oh, thank you for that. That's very kind.
Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate your call, John. Okay, next on the line we have Gail from Abermain. Hi, Gail.
Hello.
Hello, Gail.
How can we help you?
I get cold sort of symptoms, like with the coughing and the snotting. I get that yearly.
Yes.
I have found if I put the ginger with the lemon and add it to honey, it also helps soothe the throat.
Oh, absolutely.
I cough.
That what you've mentioned there, Gail, is one of the best ways of harnessing those three supplements, ginger, honey and lemon. In fact, I put a patient recently onto that blend of those three substances, honey, ginger and lemon, who had an intractable cough that had been treated in various ways with no result. I put him onto that and said, look, you've tried everything else. Try this. It's not going to cost you anything. Give it a go. That person that I prescribed it for, next time I saw him, he thought I was a miracle worker. He thought I was the next best thing to sliced bread, so to speak, because that simple mixture had overcome weeks and weeks of a stubborn, irretrievable cough. Gail, I'm glad you've rung in. I go past Aberbane, as you know, very, very frequently. I know your suburb. I know Neath. I come down from Cessnock, which I consider to be the best place in the world to live. Unfortunately, everyone else is finding out about it, unfortunately. But yes. Where you are is a good spot. I know it well. Did you ever know Alan Lord at all?
No.
Alan. Yeah, I knew Alan very well. He's a good man. But look, thanks for ringing in. Listeners will take more note of what you've said, I'm sure, than what they do of me, Gail. So thanks for ringing in.
But you know what? You're still there?
Yes.
Yeah. My sister, because she ended up with MS like me in a wheelchair, she used to get garlic and swallow the garlic as whole as she could, so it was within on her breath.
Yes.
And that used to help her a lot to fight off the colds and flus yearly too.
Oh, well, what better herb is there from garlic if you can handle it? But it's not the most sociable herb, is it? It has great advantages.
If you swallow it whole, though, because it's not broken, it's not on your breath.
Oh, okay.
That's a good tip.
I'm interested in trying that, but... I don't want to lose my marriage after 60 years by swallowing garlic. Okay, Gail.
Thanks for ringing, Gail. Thanks very much. Okay. Next we've got Christine from Belmont on the line. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Hello, Christine.
What's happening?
Hello. My friend's got black mould in his bedroom.
Oh, dear.
And he slept in there for quite a while, but... He's no longer sleeping in there. He's in the lounge room.
Okay.
And he's got a red blotchy rash on his chest, and his arms and his hands are cracking and weeping blood.
Oh, dear, Christine. Look, he must see his GP.
Okay.
He must. He's obviously experiencing a bad reaction to this toxin. Black mould is a nasty thing to have round the place. He should see his GP and present, in my opinion, fairly promptly and get the thing looked at. Don't prevaricate. Tell him from me that he's got to get to see his good GP.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
Thanks, Christine.
And we've got David from Greta on the line. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hello, David.
What's happening with you?
I just had a prostate removed, and yes. I was wondering how long the bladder before the bladder returns to normal.
What you have you still got a catheter in?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so you're free of a catheter, and your bladder, is it still frequent? Are you still urinating very frequently?
Yeah, very frequently.
At night or during the day?
Mainly during the day when I'm walking around.
Okay. Look, how long is it since you've had your procedure?
3 weeks.
Yeah, it might be a bit premature, David. Obviously, I'm not a specialist on oncology or surgery or things like that, but over the years I've spoken to many of my clients and patients who have had prostate surgery very, very successfully. And I say to men generally out there who are faced with medical intervention for their prostate, the management for the condition these days, in my opinion, is very, very sound. And for a lot of men that might have fears about it, every patient of mine that has had a procedure, to be fair, has done pretty well. I think that with this condition, it will tend to take up. I think talk to your doctor or your surgeon about it. You'd be going in for a review, wouldn't you, David?
Yes, I am next week.
Yeah. Look, talk to him or her about it, but I think you could be a little bit premature. If it still lingers and doesn't take up, well, then give us a ring and we'll see what we can do. But I think it's a little bit premature. That's my opinion. But I say, look, I'm not a doctor. I give an opinion on it. But at the end of the day, I'm sure your specialist will... have good information for you.
Yep, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks very much, David. Appreciate your call. Now, Dennis, you briefly mentioned vitamin C in a previous program as a desirable supplement, but doesn't it occur in foods such as oranges and so why should we be taking the supplement?
Okay, that's a very sound question. The first thing that I would say is that everyone should use citrus fruits as part of their diet. And, you know, one of the things that worries me at this stage is as I drive around, even in my own neighbourhood, and as I'm driving frequently down to here, to Newcastle, to my rooms and to the station, I see so many properties, older properties in particular, where orange trees planted years ago are fruiting, heavy with fruit. And inevitably I will see over a period of time most of that fruit on the ground. Now that's my biggest concern, that oranges are still the ideal source of vitamin C. But in my opinion, we're not taking advantage of the ease with which we can procure it, whether we grow it. If we grow it, for goodness sake, use it. Or if you're not using it yourself, give it away. But use the natural form of it because it has a significant health benefit. But what I'm talking about here is perhaps slightly different. Whilst you can get a significant health benefit from using vitamin C in, say, the orange, I put it this way, for two reasons I'm suggesting a supplement. Most people these days don't eat enough fruit. Most people don't have enough citrus fruit in their diet, and as a result may not be getting the benefit that vitamin C has at multiple levels, one of which, since the work of Dr. Linus Pauling years ago, is to support the immune system. And this is why I say that because of the lack of appreciation of regular eating of fruit, particularly citrus fruits, and because of the, how would you call it, the economy, the relative economy of purchasing vitamin C supplements, it's useful, particularly if you're getting on or particularly if you're prone to infection during wintertime. Using vitamin C, as I do regularly, in a supplemental dosage, I take 500 milligrams of vitamin C in a capsule every day of my life, and I believe it contributes to my relative freedom from infection during wintertime. I can't think, and I say this without boasting, I can't think of the last time I had a serious episode of influenza or something like that. And I have very few medical interventions. I don't, my own thing is, I don't have the flu vaccine, not that I'm opposed to it, I recommend it to many patients, but I don't have it because I believe that things like appreciating the potential of vitamin C in an accelerated dose, maybe in conjunction with the fruit, has a significant effect in improving one's resistance to infection. So I say to listeners, take on board some of the modern work on vitamin C, which sees it not only as a useful nutritional supplement, as a food, which it most certainly is, and I promote it, but see it also having, if you like, a natural medicine effect by virtue of its potential, I believe, to improve resistance, to support the immune system. There aren't too many writers that I've read in recent times on the immune system that aren't recommending vitamin C as something to be taken as a supplement, usually in conjunction with other things, but even on its own. If you're not using vitamin C at this stage of the year, and if you're an elderly person particularly, I think it's a good investment. And vitamin C in conjunction with the work we've done today on the benefit of ginger, lemon juice. Look, you're on the right track. Don't neglect to use vitamin C as a medication, I believe. Now, I might get shot down by the mainstream for saying that, but look, I'm a great believer in it. I believe in the writings of Linus Pauling. I believe in the orthomolecular dose having a medicinal effect rather than just a simple nutritional effect.
Now, you wanted to talk about the benefits of horseradish and garlic. We've got a couple of minutes left if you want to.
Well, what
that.
I mean, this is a relatively well-known supplement that's been around for a long period of time. And you can these days procure the supplement, generally speaking, in one preparation, horseradish and garlic. Now, why am I recommending these things? Horseradish and garlic, above all other things, have a particular affinity for what we call the upper respiratory system. That is, the sinus passages, the nasal passages, and those two herbs, because they are herbs, in combination, set up a natural resistance to infection. Both those herbs have constituents that could best be referred to as antimicrobial. Most people think that horseradish and garlic is used for things like or a blocked nose or something like that. If there is a benefit there, it's really secondary to the real benefit that using that supplement has, and that is to use that supplement for those that experience regular sinus infections. Let me mention regular sinus infections, because those two simple herbs contain principles which are natural antibiotics. Now, listeners would have heard me talk about the remarkable work of the German medical practitioner. God bless the German medical practitioners, who are also a great herbalist. Dr. Rudolf Weiss, in his book, Dealing with Infection and Natural Drugs, so to speak, he explained the rationale of using horseradish as a medication to use particularly for upper respiratory tract infections. I believe strongly in what he said, and I believe in conjunction with garlic, which is a well-known natural antibiotic agent. But what we're talking about here, by the way, is not life-threatening infections. We're talking about common, chronic, everyday conditions that many people experience, sometimes worse in wintertime. Look, what we've said today, taking horseradish and garlic with a bit of vitamin C, supported by some ginger, listen, that's not a bad talk for today.
It's not, and you've done well today.
Oh, well, you're a good producer. You
I do my best.
You do well.
Thank you very much, Janice.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.